Hello, if you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. My name is Siggy Mgabadeli. Tackling your questions in studio this evening are Joseph Busher from JM Busher Investment Group and Greg Katzenellenbergen from Sanlam Private Wealth. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392. You can also email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. You can tweet us at BusinessDayTV and use the hashtag Stockwatch. So, gentlemen, a nice-ish day. We saw the all share up about 1/3%, as well as the top 40 on the day. Greg?
Well, it was, you know, it's been a very eventful day with what's happening with Brexit and things like that. At the same time, also the committee to review the proposed on the land reform. Yeah. Recommended that we change the constitution, or South Africa changes its constitution to allow for expropriation without compensation. So for a period there this afternoon, banks came under pressure, managed to recover towards the end, but the rand was pretty strong as well, especially against the pound, as the pound tanked after the fact that it looks like the British Prime Minister, her job might not be that secure. So, yes, it was a good day, and certainly for we saw, you know, the bleeding seemed to have stopped in Sasol. And we found that, and then a good day for some of the consumer staples like Anheuser-Busch that had a very good day. British American Tobacco continued to suffer, but at the end of the day, at least the indices were green at the end, and that makes a change from what we've seen.
From what we've seen in recent times. And in fact, Richemont also down about 3.5%. We'll talk about that because somebody wants, Robbie wants to know your view on where Richemont is going as well. But your view on the market today, Jason?
Well, it's really Naspers. Naspers just bouncing back and 2% up or so. And it's a big contributor to the overall market. So I think the wobbly market is still there. People are still very nervous in terms of direction. Yes, you know, the banks and some of the stocks rallied towards the end or just recovered towards the end. But I think the end is not there yet. It's not really clear whether we have bottomed up or not. There's still lots of pressures, lots of volatility in our market. And I think the external factors like the Brexit, what happens in the US in terms of interest rates and so on, has got a massive contribution as to how the JSE is going to pan out towards the end of the year. We've literally about 1.5 months to go.
How solid do you guys think the floor on the market is at the moment? I mean, 10 years ago, 2008, we had the crisis. 1998, 10 years before that, we had a crisis. And someone asked me yesterday, in fact, they said, well, is this a 10-year cycle? Could we see this market again really kind of crashing down? How solid
Look, is the floor? You know, what happened in 2008 is once in a 80-100-year event where the global markets, you know, there's almost a total collapse of the financial. Yeah. We're not seeing that at the moment. You've got globally companies still doing well in terms of earnings. What we have to deal with at the moment is the fact that we've had 10 years of extremely low interest rates. Yeah. This has been an experiment, and historians in the future will write whether it was a successful or not. But at the moment, you know, we've just globally, the world has printed enormous trillions of dollars and euros.
We've been awash with
liquidity. Companies have gorged on this very cheap debt. Now they have to, you know, face, you know, the punch bowl has been taken away. So how it will be, the world still has a lot of debt, and how that will move. So obviously you will find corrections in the market, but to see a complete meltdown like in 2008, there are no conditions at the moment that indicate that that would be the situation. But having said that, October has been a pretty poor month, and we've seen the markets give back, you know, a lot of shares have given back a lot of gains, and some like Richemont and British American Tobacco have been really under the whip. But when you say, is there a floor? Well, it's very difficult sometimes to see where the floor. But generally, South Africa always enjoys a Christmas rally, so hopefully this year will be no different.
And Black Friday is around the corner.
Well, you know what? There's always this 6-5 year cycle, I think. So it's not 10 years. And I think if you look in terms of empirical evidence, you'll be able to pick where the market lost at least 20-30%. So if you start the Asian crisis in 97, then from 97 we came to the 2001. Obviously some of them was, you know, the Iraq war. From 2001, to 2003, we then came to 2008, 2009. So we've gone 6 years, almost like 6 years, you know, without any major correction. And certainly this year was looking not a crash over like a week or one day, but I think kind of a gradual correction. So it has to be triggered by something. I mean, if you look at all those events, so it's either economic or it's war related.
Yeah.
And we have now the, you know, whatever the tariffs war between the US and
I suppose many people had expected that might be the trigger.
China, a trigger. Mm. But also, you're not quite sure where Mr. Trump is going to go and what can come in the next few years. So you do tend to see every 5-6 years there is correction. And I think the Asian crisis was possibly about 42-39%. So on average, you know, you're looking between 30-40% kind of correction, and some of them are man-made. And that's happened.
It's been a big kind of results day, so let's go through some of those. Investec, overall profit up 3%. The asset management division in the UK showing some really good growth.
It was a fair set of results. I wouldn't say it was that great. You could see that, you know, the recession in South Africa is certainly having some effect on their local business. I think the numbers might have appeared better than they were because they've, you know, finally put some of that Kensington business in the UK back behind them now, so they can now start moving forward. But I think a lot of the big banks are going to be, you know, they're going to be challenged by a lot of these new banks coming up and these digital banks. But I think that they will adopt some strategy to deal with that. You've seen they're going to split the asset management out of the company.
Yeah.
When that was announced, it was a very big initial reaction, positive reaction. It seems to have given up all those gains. But I still think there are a lot of smart people in Investec. I think it's a well-run bank, but they did make some mistakes in the global financial crisis, and it's taken these 10 years to work that out of the system. And also it's coupled with the fact that South Africa is in a recession, so it would have had some impact on them, but a fair set of results.
Yeah. Your view on Investec, and also just on whether these new digital banks are going to eat some of their lunch.
They have battled. I think Investec used to be one of my favorites, but certainly over the last 1 year, 2 years, if you look at the chart, they've gone nowhere. You know, very stuck in a narrow trading range between about 90 and 100, and failing to break the 100 consistently. They haven't created any value. If you look at the net asset value, and that's why possibly why their stock has been stuck, you know, in a very narrow trading range. You know, the asset management business is actually, you know, where they really make the money. And I'm not quite sure if they split, you know, given the new banks you're talking about, you know, how Investec as a bank, you know, a high-end kind of bank, where they're going to make the money from.
All right, Mediclinic up, Switzerland, Hearst London, I think it's called. It's just not been a promising venture for them, has it?
No, you know, there are nice chocolates in Switzerland, but certainly I think Mediclinic have realized that, you know, the foray into that market hasn't really worked for them. The results that are coming through below expectations, and I think even in terms of, you look in terms of the earnings per share, marginally down. So it's not looking like, you know, the sunset, you're going to get the rise coming through. The following a day for Mediclinic, I think they're going to continue to battle. The entire sector is really battling, I think, if you look in terms of Aspen and the other related stocks.
And I just wonder, Greg, for private hospital groups, I mean, you've got, on the one hand, we're all living longer, so that's good for them because we're going to end up in hospital getting all sorts of treatments. But on the other, governments
are... Do you want to live longer than...
No, I don't. I have a cut-off date. But on the other hand, you've got governments regulating, particularly costs and benefits and so on. So is this...
Well, that's the problem. Mm. You know, Mediclinic, Netcare, and Life Healthcare, the big three here, the governments are not issuing them with any more licenses. They say that the market is too concentrated. But, you know, to open a hospital is not cheap. It costs a lot of money. So these are the groups that have got the capital to do that. So... if you're not going to do issue new licenses and people, certainly nothing's coming through from the state in order to grow the number of hospitals. So I think it's short-sighted on the regulator's part. But as Joseph said, you've got around the globe, you know, medical services are certainly under pressure because cost is a problem.
Mm. All right, let's check some stocks. Robbie wants to know, Greg, if Richemont is a buy at these guys.
Okay, well, Richemont will be my stock pick later, so, but the bottom line is that certainly, I think at 93, I've been buying this above 100 anyhow, so to me it was good value then, so at 93 it looks to me excellent value. The shares offer a high of about 130, and you've seen, you know, everyone talks about a slowdown in China, and that we have become too used to double-digit growth from China and the Chinese economy. You know, when you had the commodities boom, China used to grow at 11% per annum. Now they're looking at about 6.5%. So it's impossible that you continue to grow at double digits, but they say they will grow at the high teens. But you know what happens, a lot of these global stocks, you have the machines, they read these headlines and they see it's negative and they just sell these shares and they keep selling. So, but thank goodness that humans are still there to see, you know, at some stage there's got to be some value in the stock. And Richemont, you know, I mean, there was a typhoon in Hong Kong that affected their sales as well. But their jewelry business is high margin and they're making great profits from that. And their online business is also increasing rapidly. So at 93, it looks to me that it's very good value.
Okay. Do you want to keep it as your stock
pick? Yeah, absolutely.
You'll give us more detail. Joseph, very quickly, Aspen. Robbie wants to know if it's a buy.
I think if you were to look at you know, a couple of the indicators for Aspen, you think it's prime for buying, you know. So if you look at price to book value over you know, a 10-year period, the average is like 65% down, you know, over like the lowest 34%. But the problem with Aspen is that their liabilities have also increased. And I think the liability is really possibly is just putting this damper on the stock for people to say now it's ready for buying. Remember, you know, the chart shows that in October, the stock really just took a massive tank. And you think right now from 270 to 160, 150, you know, it will be buy. But the liability is really just putting a really damper on the share. You know, if you look in terms of PE ratio, also quite good, 10 times ratio, yeah.
All right, lots of questions, lots of stocks that people want to know about. We'll get to those in a moment. We're going to take a short break. Please keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392. You can email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za. Stay with us. Welcome back. Let's take a look at those international markets right now. Start in the United States, and it's a slightly mixed picture. We'd seen a little bit earlier those stocks in the United States falling as a batch of weak earnings and Brexit-related concerns sparked a sixth day of selling. We saw Amazon.com and Facebook earlier taking a bit of a hit, but I see the Nasdaq is up about 2/3% at the moment. The S&P and Dow both flat to negative. Over in Europe, also a slight mixed picture. It's a bit flat on the FTSE. I think everybody is looking at that long-awaited agreement on Brexit and wondering what it means for the future of Theresa May. In Paris, the CAC down 0.7%, and the DAX down 0.5%. And still with me, Joseph Buscher and Greg Katz and Ellen Bogan. So let's go to more questions. One from Michael. In fact, he's got two questions. One on Coronation, Greg. He says, Coronation has been a disaster for months. Do I sell now?
Well, look, it's very difficult. You know, Coronation, if the market does well, they're going to do well. You know, they, if they're doing well, they'll earn performance fees. But they've been hit with a double whammy. The markets have been really under pressure, so fees would come under pressure. As well as they've also had, you know, in their stocks, they've had big exposures to some shares that have taken an absolute battering, like MTN, British American Tobacco, and things like that. So, but it's very difficult to give a, you know, I don't know where the viewer bought them at, but whether you would think, I do believe that our period of underperformance in the market will come to an end at some stage in the not too distant future, that there will be a lot of opportunities in the South African market. And
So holding them would be almost a vote on where you think the market is going, or
well,
not?
I think, you know, it's will be because it's, you know, then you need a strong market. They've performed very well when the market has performed well, and they haven't done so well when the market has been, as you know, since Mr. Nenny was fired the original time, our market has just, it's tread, you know, water, and hasn't been a great time for equity investors.
Dis-Chem, is it too expensive at current levels, Michael wants to know.
Well, Dis-Chem is almost trading roughly close to the levels where they were initially listed. They actually went towards about 38, came down to about 26. They're basically betting, they competed there with Clicks. But I think over the long term, certainly it's a good brand across Africa. They're trying to get into the townships as well. They've got a very good partnership with some doctors. So I think long term is a good stock. But I think, you know, let's just give it time. You know, it's barely just a year since it was listed, but I think it's a good brand. And they're spreading also their product offering from, you know, your normal medication to health issues and so on, yeah.
I read that there's a strike starting at Dis-Chem, so depends on how long that strike will go on. It'll depend on how earnings are. But
when you compare them to Clicks, which of
Clicks has been an absolute darling for the market, you know. But Clicks got about 500 stores, whereas Dis-Chem about 100, I think. So there's a lot of growth potential for Dis-Chem. If you're taking Dis-Chem over a 10-year view, it must be a good investment.
Gladys wants to know, Greg, what about Sasol? Bought 2 days ago at 470 Rand, and it's fallen quite a bit in 2 days. Bought for the long term, however.
I'll have a different view here to Joseph, because he's going to recommend it as a short in his
stock pick. Yeah.
I believe that, look, the price action in oil, now, so there's no, the correlation's not one-to-one with the oil price and Sasol, but there is a correlation. So the fall in the oil price has seen Sasol come down quite sharply. But also, not what's not in Sasol's favour has been the strengthening rand. So, you know, they lose money when the rand strengthens, they make it when it roots. But that Lake Charles operation of theirs in Louisiana is will come on stream soon. It will be very cash
on
generative
budget
for it. So, and Sasol has come from a high of about 580 rands to where it currently is. And I believe at these levels, you know, it's worth nibbling at Sasol.
I'm going to let you tell us with your stock pick at that time why it's a short. But Barbara wants to know, what's happened to British American Tobacco?
That's total collapse. I think, you know, they used to really print good money, new laws, legislations coming in terms of disclosure, you know, to smokers, but also, you know, there was that replacement, was it the Viper or something that had come into the market? So it hasn't really taken off as it should have. So the stock has been really under pressure, and my belief is that, you know, there is negative momentum on British American Tobacco, and it does look like it's going to continue. We thought it got a little bit of resistance around 650, went back a little bit towards 7, and all of a sudden collapsed to 611 and below 600 rand per share. So my view is that if you bought it a long time ago and you are in the money, take profits and park and look for value elsewhere.
And in fact, here's a question, and I want to, and it still relates to the same share. Someone says, I'm still 50% up on my original BTI purchase 12 years ago. Would it be wise to cash out?
Well, look, BTI have always, every single year for about 20 years, that I can remember increase their dividend. So they generate a huge amount of cash. I understand that the proposal to ban menthol cigarettes is a negative for them, but that could take some time. But the one thing when you consider whether you should buy the share or not, just remember for the last 50 years, the shares always had has signified that you know, some sort of legal action or you know, being sued is a risk to them, and it's been going then for 50 years. Share it continues to go. I'm not minimizing the fact they want to ban menthol, but I think, you know, there's a lot of other opportunities for them over the future to mitigate from that ban going forward. So my view is that I wouldn't be selling British American Tobacco at these levels.
Greg wants to know your view on Bidcorp. Some analysts have a sell consensus. Why? I think it's in a good space and worth accumulating for a long-term view, unless I've missed something.
Well, I think after the split really from Bidvest, you know, when the two businesses were spun out, certainly I think a lot of people thought value had been unlocked in Bidcorp. We know the business it is in. I think it's a very good share. In the long term, if you if it comes down a little bit further, I think I would be buying Bidco going forward. So I don't believe that it is highly expensive at these levels.
Bidco,
it's a quality share. There's not much more to say. I think it's there's a real lack of quality at the moment in our market, and I think that's one of the better ones to have. So longer term, you can't go wrong with.
And Temba wants to know what the panel thinks about Kumba Iron Ore.
Okay, well, I'm bullish on Kumba. Now, the iron ore price, after every analyst in town tell you that it would collapse down to $30 or $40, has continued to move much higher. And in fact, the highest quality iron ore is close to $100. Kumba certainly hasn't kept pace with the rising iron ore price. But the stronger rand hasn't been a help. But the biggest reason for Kumba is that they haven't been able to get their product to the ports because they've had a lot of problem with Transnet and getting it railed. And unless we sort out that rail problem, it will continue to hold them back. But if there was no problem like that, the Kumba price should have been much higher. It should have reflected what's happening to the iron ore price. But, you know, their volumes are down because they can't get the product to the port.
Quick view on Kumba?
I think I would agree with Greg there. Certainly, I think, you know, initially there was lots of threat from China and glut in terms of supply. It used to be a massive dividend payer. And I think very good stock for Anglo-American and so on. I would, if you believe basically that Kumba is going to do well, possibly go through Anglo-American.
Okay. Stock pick. Greg, I'll start with you.
Richemont. So I give, but the bottom line is that the shares come off significantly, more than 30%. I believe it offers opportunity because I believe the market has been, has not taken in everything into account. They make a lot of money in their jewelry divisions and they have very high margins. And they're probably the best in terms of global jewelry. They've been buying back a lot of their high-end watches in order to not to flood the market. That program is probably coming to an end now. And they've got Yuke's Net-a-Porter business and moving from 1% of their sales online to currently 14%. And I think that remains, especially for watches, it remains a great opportunity. So for me,
Joseph,
each one's
a buy. I'm going to be selling Sasol. I know everybody, you know, when they link Sasol, they link it to petrol, oil prices coming down. The correlation between Sasol share price and Brent crude prices is quite significant, although obviously they've got other products they do. So the share price was trading at about 12% premium to its fair value. About 4.80. Our view is that, you know, the share price could come to about 4.30, 4.20, and possibly could pick it up again from there.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks for your time today. Thanks to my guests, Joseph Buscher from J.M. Buscher Investment Group and Greg Katzenellenbogen from Sanlam Private Wealth. Simon will take more of your stock-related questions on Monday. Have a good evening. Bye-bye. Stockpack. Greg, I'll start with you.
Richemont. So I give, but the bottom line is that the shares come off significantly, more than 30%. I believe it offers opportunity because I believe the market has been, has not taken in everything into account. They make a lot of money in their jewelry divisions and they have very high margins. And they're probably the best in terms of global jewelry. They've been buying back a lot of their high-end watches in order to not to flood the market. That program is probably coming to an end now. And they've got Yoox Net-a-Porter business and moving from 1% of their sales online to currently 14%. And I think that remains, especially for watches, it remains a great opportunity. Okay. So for me,
Joseph, each one's
a buy. I'm going to be selling Sasol. I know everybody, you know, when they link Sasol, they link it to petrol, oil prices coming down. The correlation between Sasol share price and Brent crude prices is quite significant, although obviously they would other products they do. So the share price was trading at about 12% premium to its fair value, about 4.80. Our view is that, you know, the share price could come to about 4.30, 4.20, and possibly could pick it up again from there.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks for your time today. Thanks to my guests, Joseph Buscher from J.M. Buscher Investment Group and Greg Katzenellenbogen from Sanlam Private Wealth. Simon will take more of your stock-related questions on Monday. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.